All right, Jaden, we're going to read this middle paragraph right here that I've got on the screen, everyone. Quickly, let's go. Listing all that is in, all that is important in Genesis would be impossible. However, one sees in Genesis, and now we have a bullet comment series of things. Go, Jaden.
God, the sovereign creator, and his attributes.
All right, what is an attribute? What is an attribute? What's an attribute? We're looking at this word right here. What is an attribute?
A trait that you have.
Yes, it's a trait. So give me an attribute of yourself. Let's start with your dominant one that will not change.
I'm a girl.
Yep, that's it. Very good. You are a female. Right, that is an attribute. Give me another attribute. Give me another attribute. Come on. This is not hard. Attributes.
I have blue eyes.
Blue eyes. All right. That's an attribute. What else? Let's go. Jack.
We're alive.
No, alive is not an attribute. Come on.
I'm dominantly left-handed.
All right. Dominantly left-handed. That's an attribute. What else? You have an ethnic attribute. You have an ethnic attribute in here. You have an ethnic attribute. Caucasian. African-American. It describes who you are. What else? What other attributes? How many of you are dumb? You're just dumb, okay? All right? That's an attribute. All right? Put your hands down. All right, anybody musically inclined? Musically inclined. All right? Is that an attribute?
Yes.
Yes, that is an attribute. Pastor Jonathan is musically inclined. You see him pick up one instrument, then he moves to another one, picks it up, and then he can go to the piano. That's an attribute. Give me an attribute of God, Jack. Give me an attribute of God.
He's creative.
He's creative. Right. How do we know, Landon, that God is creative?
He created everything.
Right. But in the creation, do we see beauty or is it all stark and drab?
We see beauty.
Yeah, we see beauty. What? Give me something in nature that's beautiful. Something in nature that's beautiful.
Trees.
Butterflies.
Flowers.
Flowers. What else?
Cats?
Cats are not working.
All right, another attribute of God. Lucas, an attribute of God.
He's all-knowing.
All-knowing, right. Omnipotent is another attribute. Omniscience is another attribute. He said all-knowing. Give me an attribute of God.
He's a spirit.
All right, God is a spirit. Excellent. That's an attribute of God. Give me another attribute of God.
Father.
Right, God the Father. All right, Elohim, an attribute of Elohim, an attribute of Elohim.
It's plural.
Plural, right, plural. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay, next sentence or bullet comment. Jaden, go.
The origin of man, sin, and death.
Right, so the Bible provides an explanation as to why we have these three things. Why we have humans, why those humans sin, and why those humans don't live forever. Next.
Humans, male and female, are made in the image of God.
Okay, and we have an entire article and a homework assignment that we're going to do focusing on image of God. Jack, next.
A creation and cultural mandate.
Right. What's a mandate? What's a mandate? Addison, what's a mandate?
Something that's required by
right.
Law.
Yeah, do you have any mandates at your house? Do you have any mandates at your house? Right, give me a mandate from at your house.
We have to
turn in devices at 9 o'clock. That's a mandate. Give me another mandate at your house. A mandate at your house. Landon, do you have any mandates?
You can't jump down the stairs.
Can't jump down the stairs.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a mandate. Pepper, a mandate.
We're not allowed to touch the phone that all three of us kids share unless we have strict permission.
Yeah, permission. Right. Lucas.
We're not allowed to slap our younger siblings.
That's unfortunate, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very unfortunate. I cannot live without that.
No, it's
sad.
Not.
It's
very
unfortunate.
It's protecting them.
It's protecting them?
Well,
all right, very good.
From what?
All right, so we're going to learn about two mandates in a little bit. The creation mandate and the cultural mandate. The proto-evangelium. This is Genesis, and I don't know why you don't have your book open, and I don't know why you're not taking notes. Genesis 3:15. The proto-evangelium is in Genesis 3:15, and we're going to learn all about that. The Noahic and the Abrahamic covenant. The Noahic and the Abrahamic covenant. Now, again, I want you to see how we're adding an IC to these words, an IC in both these words. Why are we adding an IC? Why are we adding an IC to these words? No one has any idea?
Is it because they're who it's from for? What? Or who it's told to?
Yeah, you're on the right track. Absolutely. These words without the IC, what kind of words are they? Jack, what kind of words are these words without the IC?
Names.
Yes, they're names, but in the English, what kind of words are they?
Proper nouns.
Yeah, these are proper nouns. Okay? But we don't need them to be a proper noun right now because we are describing this word right here. And what word is that?
Covenant.
It's covenant. And is that a noun also? Yeah. Is that person, place, or thing? Is the covenant a person, place, or thing? It's a thing. That's right. So, in order to describe a noun, what do we need? What word describes nouns? What do we call an adjective? Are you taking notes? Okay. So, an IC changes a noun to a what? An IC changes a noun to a what?
An adjective.
To an adjective. So, it's not Noah's covenant. It's the Noahic covenant. Adding that IC. Abraham's covenant, sure, apostrophe S to make it possessive. Or the Abrahamic covenant, ick, and you're putting an adjective in front of it. And we'll learn about those covenants. We've got this incredible, mysterious man by the name of Melchizedek, right there in the middle right there. Melchizedek. And then in chapter 6, the sons of God, and we have an article devoted to each of those. The origin of the Jewish people, and Lucas, this is their ethnicity, their ethnicity, and then the nation Israel. How about this word right here, Jack? Pre-incarnate, what does that mean?
Before he came to earth.
Yeah, good, you're on the right track, excellent. Before he came to earth, who's the he? Who's the he, Jaden?
Jesus.
Yes, it's Jesus, right. Pre-incarnate appearances of Christ. Incarnate right there. What kind of word is that? It's a Latin word for flesh. A Latin word for flesh. So if we say pre-incarnate, what are we talking about? If we say pre-incarnate, what are we talking about? What's the word pre mean?
Before.
Right, it's a prefix. It means before. So before he became
flesh.
Right, when did Jesus become flesh, Jaden? When did the process of Jesus becoming flesh start?
Matthew?
Yes, Matthew, but where particularly? Lucas?
9 months B.C.
Okay, 9 months B.C. That's interesting that you use that expression. B.C. as that method of measuring time before Christ. Why did you say 9 months?
Because when he was in Mary.
That's right. So the process of Jesus becoming flesh began at the conception. Began at the conception. And then slowly in the womb, what does his body take on?
Flesh.
Flesh to the point of being ready to be delivered into the world as the God-man. So when we say pre-incarnate appearances of Christ, what are we talking about? When we say pre-incarnate appearances of Christ, what are we talking about?
Him appearing before he was born.
That's right. Any time that Jesus involves himself in humanity, anywhere in the Old Testament, Jesus leaving heaven, coming to the earth, and we're going to see this throughout Genesis, it is what we call pre-incarnate appearances of, and here's our word Christ, and all of you should know that word. Christ means what, Lucas? Starts with the letter M. Landon? Messiah, here's our word, M-E-S-S-I-H. And Messiah literally means what? Starts with the letter A.
Anointed
one. The anointed one. What did we anoint prophets, kings, and priests in the Old Testament with? What did we pour on them?
Oil,
that's right. A fragrant oil. Is Jesus anointed with oil? Yes and no. All right, why is it yes and no? Why is it yes and no? When I said Jesus is anointed with oil, why is it yes and no? Yes, he's anointed with oil. Go.
He was anointed with oil physically.
Yes, he was anointed with oil physically, right. Who's the person that did that? Wasn't it Mary? And there's a frustration with the amount of expense. A woman anoints her with oil for his burial. But what else was Jesus anointed with? Or who else was Jesus anointed with?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Very good. All right, types and shadows of Jesus. What do we mean by types and shadows of Jesus? Types and shadows of Jesus. Lucas.
The angel of the Lord.
Yes, the angel of the Lord is a type and shadow. What do we mean by type and shadow?
It's like pre-shadowing, foreshadowing.
All right, foreshadowing. What does a shadow show you? What does a shadow show you?
The outline of yourself.
Okay, the outline. Good, that's excellent. So you can look at a shadow and you can say that's a very small person. You can look at a shadow and say that's a dog. You can look at a shadow and say that's a cat. Can you figure out what color hair the cat has from the shadow?
No.
No. But you can clearly tell it's a what?
Cat
or a dog. It has a tail. It's a human being. It's a tall human being. You might be able to tell it's a female human being depending on the angle of the shadow. So these are ways that we see Jesus in the Old Testament. All right, Jaden, what word is this right here?
Millennia.
Millennia, and what does that mean? It's a number. What is it?
Million.
No, it is not a million.
No,
it is 1,000. 1,000. Millennia is 1,000. All right, incredible stories of God's sovereign providence. Two words that we'll unpack a little bit more, providence in the future. What's sovereign mean? Jack, sovereign. What's sovereign mean? Who's the sovereign in your house?
Dad.
Your dad's the sovereign in your house. In his absence, who takes over the sovereign spot?
Mom.
Mom, yep. When are you the sovereign?
When the parents are out.
Yep. Do you ever exercise your sovereignty over your brothers? Sister?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, right. What does it mean, Addison, to exercise sovereignty?
To exercise your power over them.
Yeah, your authority over them, right. Your authority, your sovereignty, your power. So God is the supreme sovereign. Good. Kyron, who's the sovereign of Russia?
Vladimir Putin.
Yep, Vladimir Putin. That's right. He took his entire nation to war. Did they have a vote about it?
No.
No, they did not. He just did it. He's the sovereign. All right, Yahweh's covenant, keeping faithfulness and love, judgment for sin and wickedness. All right, let's read this quote from Bergen. If you can't read it on the screen, read it in your book. All right, Jack, pick it up nice and loud.
Bergen sums it up well. He writes, Genesis lays the groundwork for everything else we read and experience in Scripture. Through Genesis, we understand where we came from, how we got into the fallen state that we are in, and the beginnings of God's gracious work on our behalf. Genesis unfolds God's original purpose for humanity.
And then we have our citation, and this is taken out of the CSB. All right, here's our word Toledoth. Did we get into Toledoth last week a little bit? Yes? Okay, let's go ahead and open to Genesis 2:4. Let's open to Genesis 2:4 in your Bible. And we're going to get into Toledoth for just a minute here. Toledoth is the way who organizes Genesis. Toledoth is the way who organizes Genesis. Toledoth is the way who organizes Genesis.
God the author.
God the author, sure. The human author.
Moses.
Moses, right. He uses this Hebrew word, Toledoth, and we looked last week at the different ways it's translated in your Bible. So you're in 2:4. What do you got? 2:4, what do you got?
These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created.
Right, generations. These are the generations, the generations. What do you got, Jack? What word do you have instead of generations, or do you have generations?
I have generations.
Okay, right. And then we can see 2:4. 5:1, 6:9, 10:1, 11:10, 11:27. These are locations where the word Toledoth is found. And there are short Toledoths, and by short I mean the amount of information between each of them. Remember, the original Genesis does not have what?
Chapters.
Does not have chapters. It does not have verses. And this is why the chapter breaks are unfortunate sometimes. Let me show you the first unfortunate chapter break. Look at verse 31 in your Bible. Look at verse 31 in your Bible. Genesis 1:31. Genesis 1:31. I'm trying to get there. There we go. All right. 31. Kyron, 31. Do you see it right there? Read it.
Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
Right, and then your Bible has a rude interruption to it. And what's the rude interruption?
The big giant two.
Yep, the big giant two right there. That's exactly correct. The big giant two right there. All right, why am I calling it a giant interruption?
Because the two is big.
No.
No.
No, not because the two is big. No. Great answer, Landon. Why am I calling it a big giant interruption? Bryson.
Because the chapter break makes you think you should stop there when in reality it says for chapter one, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. That's a continuation of...
Right. It's like, I have no idea why they broke the chapter there. Whoever it was, the very first... you should not stop reading. What day are we on? What day are we on?
Six.
Six. How many days are in the first week?
Seven.
So where's the logical chapter break?
At verse 4.
Right. At verse 4. So we should read it. And God saw everything that he made. And behold, it was very good. I'm on the screen. And the evening and the morning was the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth finished and all that was host. On the seventh day, God finished his work, all that he'd done. He rested on the seventh day from all his work he'd done. Verse 3. So God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it God created, rested from all his work that he had done. Full stop, period. Then, you see this word right here that I've got circled in red? This is our word, toledoth. So now he's going to tell you the toledoth of the heavens and the earth. The toledoth of the heavens and the earth. The marriage of the heavens and the earth. The generations that come from the union of the heaven and the earth. So the first example of the union of the heaven and the earth is found in chapter 2. What do you mean? God reaches down, and when I say reaches down, I don't actually mean God reaches down. And why do I not mean that God reaches down?
Because he doesn't have a physical sump.
That's right, because he doesn't have a physical sump. So we call these anthropomorphic. Anthropomorphic. This is when we give God human attributes. When we give. So does God think? Does God think? Yes? Yes, God thinks? You think God thinks? Do you think it takes God a long time to think?
No.
So then does God think?
No.
You sure he thinks? Because why do you think?
Because he has a...
Well, why do you think, Addison? Why do you think?
Because he's a spirit and he created the world.
No, I'm asking you why you personally think.
Oh, because I have a brain.
All right, because you have a brain. Why do you think? Why do you think?
Well, because he already knows everything, so he wouldn't need to think, because he already knows everything that's going to happen. So
he's asking me what you think.
No.
That's what I think.
Yes, Bryson thinks that he doesn't think. And the reason Bryson thinks that he doesn't think is because what? That's a nice put down. Yeah. Jaden. We can argue this both ways. How is it that we can argue it both ways? How is it that we can argue it? I'm asking you guys to think. I want you to think. Now, we're asking this question about God thinking. You think a long time. Why do you think a long time? Landon.
Because we don't know something.
Because you don't know something, right? So you're thinking about it. You're cognitively processing something. Does God cognitively process things? No. Yet we say God thinks. What are we ascribing to God when we say that?
He doesn't know all.
What are we ascribing to God? What are we giving God? We're giving him a human trait to help us understand how to relate to him. So the Bible says that God reached down in chapter 2 and picked up some dust. And what did he do with that dust, Jaden?
Formed a man.
He formed a man. So now I want you to think about a clay statue. I want you to think about a clay statue because it's dust. Is it a moving statue?
No.
No. What's the Bible say then? What did God do next?
Breathed into him.
That's right. He breathed into him. And where did that breath come from? Well, where's God come from? Yes, we don't know in the sense of origin. But where's the abode of God? Is it earth or is it heaven?
Heaven.
So the toledot of the heavens and the earth is the marriage or the relationship or the connection of the heavens. What does God bring from the heavens? The breath of?
Life.
And what does God bring from the earth?
Dust.
And he unites dust and the breath of life to make what? The man, the living creature, a living, breathing, thinking being. And that's what's happening here, because you might wonder, let's back it up here. Let's look somewhere around 26. Let us make all right, 26. All right, 24. Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their likeness, livestock, creeping things, and beasts of the earth, and living kind. So it was. God made the beasts of the earth. God saw it was good. Verse 26. Let us make man in our image after our likeness of dominion. And then we have, so God created man. So God creates humans on what day?
Six.
On day six. Yet, in chapter 2, we find God making who?
Eve.
Not just Eve.
Adam.
So what's happening here? Because I thought he was made in chapter 1. I thought he was made in chapter 1. I thought Adam and Eve were made on day 6. So why do we have chapter 2 then?
It's probably trying to describe it in more detail.
That's correct. Pepper is exactly right. It now describes it in more detail. So if you could imagine, I'm going to draw it on the screen here. If you could imagine, this is day 6 right here. This square is day 6. And that's a small square in day 6. Chapter 2 takes that square and makes it huge. This is day 6 right here. Chapter 2 takes this square and makes it huge with all kinds of what?
Details.
This is day 6. And in chapter 1, day 6 is small and concise. In chapter 2, day 6 gets expanded with the details. That's the idea here. All right, so that's the first toledot. The second toledot is Genesis 5:1. This is the genealogy of Adam. Then we get into Noah in chapter 6. Then we have the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth in chapter 10. And then chapter 11, another unfortunate chapter break. Go ahead and turn to chapter 11 in your Bible. Chapter 11. Do you see verse 27? Verse 27, chapter 11, verse 27. Do you see it? Chiron, read it nice and loud.
This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldeans.
Perfect, good. So, your translation has genealogy. What's a genealogy?
Family tree.
Yeah, family tree. Perfect. And who do we meet in 11:27? Who do we meet in 11:27? Addison, who are we meeting in 11:27?
Abram.
Yes, we're meeting Abram, and he'll get a new name, and what will that name become?
Abraham.
And who's Abram's dad? Who's Abram's dad?
Terah.
Right, so Terah, Abram, Isaac, where am I going next?
Jacob.
And then we have the what? 12 sons. Right, so this right here, chapter 11, verse 27, should actually be 12:1. Why am I saying that, Jaden? Why am I saying that 11:27 should actually be 12:1.
Because that's where you think the chapter break should go?
That's right. And why do I think that's why the chapter break should go there? Why?
Because it's the start of a new part of the story?
It is the start of a new story because I get introduced to an entirely new character. And who's that new character? First, it's who? Who's the entirely new character?
Tara.
And why do we care about Tara? Why do we care about Tara? Jack, why do we care about Tara?
Because he's on Jesus' line.
Okay, why do we care about Tara? It's not a bad answer, but it's a little needs a little bit more refinement. Why do we care about Tara?
He's the father of Abel.
That's right, because he's the father of the most important person in Genesis apart from God. So, we get this introduction to who he is with this word, the genealogies, or the toledah, or the generations, right? And that is Abraham. And then we have more of them, and there's a total of 10 toledahs. And most people think the reason 10 is because that's the number of completion, okay? Or the 10 family records. All right, let's go to page number 4. Page number 4 is the summary of the first 11 chapters, and you don't have to use that unless you're trying to find something. If you're trying to find something, then what can you do? You can look at those summaries of what's happening there. All right, let's get into Genesis 1. Let's get into Genesis 1. Let me blow this chart up, and you find it in your book so that you can see the chart with me. Okay? Okay, why is the chart organized with a separation right there in the middle like that? Why is the chart organized with a separation in the middle like that? Go.
Because the first 3 days are when he's separating, and then the last 3 are.
Okay, now make sure that you understand that, because that's going to be on quizzes and tests. The beginning of creation is all about what word? The beginning of creation, the first 3 days of creation, is all about what word?
Separating.
Lucas, what?
Separating.
It's all about separating. Day one, Preston, what gets separated on day one?
Day and night.
Day and night, or light and?
Darkness.
That's right. And we're not talking about sun, moon, and stars yet. We're not talking sun, moon, and stars. Jaden, what gets separated on day two?
The sky.
Right, so God separates the sky from? What? From the waters. From the?
Ocean.
From the sea. Right. There's a separation. Day three, Jaden, what does God create?
Dry land.
Dry land. So now, at the end of day three, we have three kind of regions. What are those three regions?
The sky, the earth, and the ocean.
Yep. Perfect. Yep. Bodies of water, bodies, locations of dry land, and an atmospheric condition. An atmospheric condition. Does it look like it looks today? No, why not? What major event's going to happen real soon? And I say real soon, I shouldn't have said that. Maybe at 2,000 years, but...
The flood.
The flood. A global flood is going to gigantically rearrange everything. Gigantically rearrange everything. So after 3 days of separating, there's a tiny little addendum on day three. And what is that addendum, that little addition there? What's he create? Right, vegetation. See it right there? Now, what's interesting to note is that there is no sun at this point. All right, is that problematic? Is that problematic that there is no sun? Yes, right? So what does God then next create on day four?
The sky and the sun and stars. So something interesting about that is people who think that God used evolution to create the earth can't use that as an example because vegetation was created before the sun and it can't use photosynthesis, so it would have to be an overnight thing or the plants would die because they need sun.
Yeah, we can't put a million years here, right? We
yeah.
can't insert a million years in between day three and day four. That doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? One more time, Landon. Why doesn't it work?
Because the plants will die.
Yeah, because the plants will die. So God creates vegetation, and then the very next thing that God creates in order for the plants to survive is what?
The
sun. The sun, right. They need the sun. Could God have flipped it? Could God have flipped it?
Yes.
Yes. And if God had have flipped it, then what argument could you make? Could you insert a huge period of time if God had flipped it?
Yes.
You sure could have. That's right. You sure could have. But it's interesting to note that it's not that way. It's not that way. It's just the opposite. It's not what we would expect. If you were thinking about it, if you were laying it out, you'd think, well, first I'm going to make the sun, and then I'll create some plants. But God doesn't do it that way. All right, day five is what? Day five is birds and what? The fish. Right. And it's interesting to note that he commands them to do what?
To be fruitful and multiply.
Right. And he's exercising his sovereignty over even over birds and fish and animals with this commandment. And by the way, they've been obeying God ever since. Day six fills the land from day three with livestock, creeping things, beasts, and creates Adam, the Hebrew word for man. At the end of day six, what conclusion does God make, or what theological statement does God make? Pepper, what's he say at the end of day six?
He has made it very good.
It's very good. This is why I don't think that the fall of Satan has happened yet. This is why I don't think the fall of Satan has happened yet. All right, unpack that. I don't think it's happened yet. Why, Pepper?
Because if everything was very good, then Satan would be
bad. Right. That's right. If God looks at everything that he's made, which would have to include the spiritual beings because they're created by him, spiritual beings, angels.
Seraphim,
right, all that. And he says it's what?
Very good.
It's all very good. So this is why I don't think that the fall of Satan has happened yet. After 6 days of creating Jack, God is exhausted, so he needs a day of rest. Is that correct? No. All right, so then what's going on here, Lucas? Why does God take a pause and have a day of rest if he's not exhausted?
To give an example for us.
Okay, to provide an example for us. And by the way, if I ask you who created the 7 day week, what's your answer, Chiron?
God did.
God did. And isn't it interesting that we are all still on a 7 day week? And by the way, cultures have tried others. Cultures have attempted to superimpose a 7 day work week, a 10 day week. And it's failed. Wonder why that is.
Because God created the 7 days, and seven is the perfect number.
All right, seven is the perfect number according to Scripture, and God created it. Why would a society change it and try to do a 10-day work week?
To try to be God.
All right, to try to be God. What else?
They don't want the workers to have weekends so they can get more work done.
Yeah, so they can get more work done. Mm-hmm. So instead of working for 5 days, you work for 8 days, or you work for 9 days, and so you actually get more work out of humans. But what we found is it did not work. And then God sets this day apart. He sets it apart. So he's back to separating. What do I mean he's back to separating? Well, God's back to separating. What do I mean by God's back to separating? He takes the 6 days that man should do what?
Work.
Work. And he separates this day from those six. He says, this day is separate, or this day is holy, and provides, as Lucas said, an example for us. An example for us. All right, let's get into Genesis, and let's read some scripture this morning. Let's read some scripture. OK, Okay, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's our most important sentence in the entire Bible. We get the description of the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Last week, what did we say that we do or do not know about the Spirit of God here? Anna, what did we say we do or do not know? Landon, what do we say we do or do not know?
Origin.
What's that?
Origin.
Yeah, we do not know the origin, but what else did we say that we do or do not know, Lucas?
We don't know whether it was the Holy Spirit or God himself, since he is a spirit.
That's correct. Excellent. Good memory. We don't know whether Spirit of God right here is the lower right-hand corner of the triangle. What goes in the lower right-hand corner of the triangle?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Or the top of the triangle, which would be who?
Father.
The Father. Okay? And why don't we know that, Lucas? Why don't we know that?
Because we don't have a source telling us that it's like that.
Nice. Excellent. That's a good answer. Yeah, we don't have any additional information to tell us either way. Okay, God creates light in verse 3. God saw that the light was good. God calls light day. God calls light night. And then we get this language. And this language is repeated again and again. And what is that, Jack? I circled it for you in red. Evening and morning. And evening and morning is the what?
The first day.
So for a Jew, when does the Sabbath begin? For a Jew, when does the Sabbath begin? Bryson, when's the Sabbath begin for a Jew?
On Friday.
Friday at sunset. Mm-hmm. And when does it end for a Jew? When does it end, Lucas?
Saturday at sunset.
Right, and there's their 24-hour period. For us, we would think of it starting when?
Sunday.
In the morning, right? We would think of it starting in the morning. How many of you say evening and morning? You say evening and morning, you say morning and evening.
Morning.
Exactly. Right. When was the last time you heard someone say evening and morning in that order?
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Exactly. Right. Because we think our day starts when?
Morning.
In the morning. The Hebrew day starts when?
Evening.
In the evening. Evening and morning. And this is repeated throughout the text. So here it is right here. This is verse 5. Here it is again. Evening and morning. Day 2. Verse number 8. Here it is again. Where am I at here? Evening and morning. Vegetation. God saw that it was good. There it is right there. Verse 13. Evening and morning. And this is day number 3. This is day 3. God sees the lights. Moving on. God separates them. We get down to day 4 in verse 19. Then we get into the language about water swarm, birds fly, there's a great sea creatures according to their kinds. And then we get told to be fruitful and multiply. All right, go ahead and write down the word procreate. 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 And what does that word mean?
To make more of.
Yeah, to make more of. Excellent. And so you want your goats to procreate. Why do you want your goats to procreate? Girls, why do you want your goats to procreate?
To give us milk.
Yeah, to give you milk. What else?
Money.
Landon, why do you want your rabbits to procreate? Food. Lucas. Why do we want humans to procreate?
To have more people.
Right. Why do we want more people?
Because people are dying.
Because people are dying.
He told us to fill the earth.
He told us to fill the earth.
More people to worship God.
More people to worship God. Why do we care about more people, Jack?
Because we're image bearers of God.
Image bearers of God. All right. So, first the animals are given the commandment to be fruitful and multiply, and then who's given the commandment to be fruitful and multiply?
Adam
and Eve are. So, verse 26. Look in your Bibles, verse 26. Landon, do you have 26? Read it, please. Chapter 1, verse 26.
Then God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock of over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
All right, now it's verse 26. Who can remember, Lucas, you'll be the one that answers this. Who can remember what we said was unique about this word right here, us?
It's plural, and God is singular.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought God is plural. What's that?
He's one God.
He's one God. Right, and yet we have this plural now. So how did we reconcile that, Bryson? How did we reconcile the us and the are and the are? Because the us is a plural pronoun. The are is a plural possessive pronoun. The are is a plural possessive pronoun. And yet, when we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, what do we think God is normally? How would you think of that? Singular, plural, when you read that?
Singular.
Singular, right. What would you expect it to read in the English for plural?
Gods.
Gods, right. Yet we said that it is, in fact, plural. And then what did we say, for those that weren't here last week, what did we say about the word created? Yep. What did we say about the word created? What was it? It's a singular verb. So we have it. Correct the Bible, because we have a subject-verb disagreement. So, Jaden, are we going to correct the Bible?
No.
No, we're not going to correct the Bible. We're going to understand that the plurality of God created man. The plurality of God created man. What do I mean, Jack, when I say the plurality of God created man?
The fact that he's three different people and they all did it?
Sure, that everyone was involved. And when we say everyone, we mean who, Jaden?
All.
Yes, but in the Godhead, what do we mean? God the Father, God the Son, and God the
Holy Spirit.
All right, good. So let's find our first commandment then to man. What is our first commandment to God, to man? Verse 28. Verse 28. Landon, go.
God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it.
There it is, right there. So there's our creation mandate. There's our creation mandate. Our creation mandate. All right, what is our creation mandate? Our creation mandate. What is our creation mandate?
To be fruitful and increase the earth.
Yep, to be fruitful. To be fruitful. So, unless there's an exception in your life, God expects you to do what if you're a male? God expects you to do what if you're a male? Find a what? Lucas, find a what?
A wife.
Find a wife. Find someone that will marry you. And then when it's God's timing, do what? Have children. And what do we call that? Procreate. Now, this is what's interesting. The world stopped doing this. You say, well, I'm here. You're right. Right. But the world has stopped doing this. And when I say the world has stopped doing this, what do I mean?
Abortion.
All right, abortion's one. When I say the world, believers and unbelievers, across the world has stopped procreating. What do I mean by that?
In China, they're only allowed to have two kids per family.
Yeah, the birth rate, the global birth rate is declining. What do I mean by the global birth rate? The global birth rate.
How many kids are born across the entire country?
Yeah, the global birth rate is the number of children that are born across the world. We need, in order to sustain ourselves as a nation, we need a 2.1 birth rate. Why do we need a 2.1 birth rate? 2.1. You say, what, is this an arm? Are we having a 0.1 as an arm?
Two parents, one child.
Yeah, two parents, one child. No, 2.1 is 2.1 babies.
Oh.
Right.
That makes no sense.
What's that?
No, that's 0.1 is 1/10.
Right, point one is 1/10. Right, so it's a leg and an arm, right?
Yes.
All right, so that's obviously not what we mean, Anna. We don't mean a leg and an arm.
Let's round up to three.
What's that?
Let's round up to three.
Let's round up to three.
I mean, technically, mathematically, it would be rounding down, but let's just
yeah.
Let's just round up. How is that?
Okay, so this is couple one, couple two, couple three, couple four, couple five. Okay? Are they all going to have children?
No.
No, they're not. So, in order to get to where we have a number, because are all, this is 10 people. Couple 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's 10 people. Does everyone track that? That's 10 people. Are all 10 of those people going to die?
Yes.
Yes.
Any of them not going to die?
No.
No, not. They're all going to die. Right. And so, in order for them to be replaced, we need how many more?
Children.
We need 10 more, don't we?
Yeah.
And if we don't get 10 more, then the population does what?
It decreases.
It decreases. It declines. And because couple number four, they can't have children. Couple number four can't have children. For whatever reason, biologically, they can't have children. So that means that couple one, two, three, and five have to do what?
Make more children.
Have more children.
They have to have.
It's true.
They have to have more children. Right, because we need to get to 10. So we have, right here, 1, 2, 3, 4. We have four couples that need to get to 10. So we need them to have 2.5 children. Mathematically, we need them to have 2.5. I'm trying to explain to you how we got our 2.1. Acknowledging the fact that children are going to die early, acknowledging the fact that everyone's not going to have children, that's why we need the 2.1. That's the idea. If every single couple could have children, then all they'd have to have is how many?
Two.
But the 0.1 comes in relationship to the number that aren't going to have children. In the small example I gave you right here, only four couples having children, we need 2.5. Obviously, that's not going to work. We can't have 2.5. So we got to get to what number?
Three.
We got to get to 10, ultimately. We got to get to 10, ultimately. So couple number one has three children. Couple number two has three children. Couple number three has three children. Couple number five has one. Did we meet our goal?
Yes, we did.
We met our goal. And that's the idea right here. Okay? Couple number one is a big family with four. Couple number two is a an average family with two. Couple number three is three and one. Did we meet our goal?
Yes.
Yes. But our average, for our example, is 2.5. That's how you mathematically get the 0.1 that y'all all thought was funny. Nod your head if you understand what I'm saying and why we have a 2.1 and where that number came from. Okay, here's some of the nations. Here's some of the nations. Okay, is 0.7 problematic?
Yes.
Right, so that means that for every two, they're having 0.7. Not even one. They're not even having one. Now, obviously, they have one because you can't have a 0.7. Okay? You can't have it. But...
unless the baby's born with, like, no, like...
no, that's not what we mean, all right? Okay, that's not what we mean. Okay? That's not what we mean. Okay? Three... a 0.7 average is less than each of them having two. It's less than each of them having one. Okay, what happens to that decline? It's huge. It's gigantic. There are places like this. Okay, Italy. Italy is dying off. Italy is collapsing. Japan is collapsing. America is barely surviving. Islamic nations Islamic nations, you guys know what false religion in Islam is, are thriving. Why are they thriving?
People procreate a lot there.
They have big families. They have big families. Okay? You can plan on having 4, 5, 6 kids like that. That's the idea. Okay? Here's your homework. It is made in the image of God. It is made in the image of God. Pass those around. Thank you very much. We are done.